The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files and a special edition of Life Ranked. That's right. It's episode 22 of Life Ranked. This is a show where me or a guest or guests or just me or guests or everyone come in and we rank things in life. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Get that out of the way. We got two very special guests. One is a veteran of the Knapsack Files, returning. He's also recently been on the afternoons with Josh and Ken, and occasionally they let him walk by a camera collider. He is a future superstar filmmaker, Robert Butler III.
Hello. Thank you, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you here. And we're not done. We have someone who I had the chance to meet. We're working on a project we'll be highlighting here today. He, too, is a future and present day filmmaking superstar, both USC grads. Cade Huseby is here as well.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
Good to have you here. Am I saying that right? It's a very Canadian-sounding name. Huseby?
You know, that's interesting because my family's from the northwest region of Europe, and they are the first ones who came to North America and landed in Canada. So that's kind of interesting.
It just seems like a Tim Hortons diner. you want to go up to Huseby's and get ourselves a donut? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's head on to Huseby's.
Yeah, no, it's you're saying it perfectly. Usually okay. It's Husby,
Huseby.
Who's a B?
Bootler, Robert Bootler III.
Yeah, I got
here.
Bootler, the two T's. Yeah.
Yeah, you got them three I's at the end of your name.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that makes
Robert Butler.
Exactly. Sorry, it's tough typing it out.
So we are here for a very special edition of Life Rank because, Life Rank can be anything. It could be our five favorite donuts. It could be five best reasons to die alone, like the Lon Harris episode or Joseph Scrimshaw's Look at Frozen Pizza, one of the first, if not the first, Life Rank that we did. Look them up. But This one is about a project I was fortunate enough to be involved with these two young superstars in the filmmaking world. It is a short film parody of the movie pass story of the movie pass
bum,
drama
bum.
Of the movie pass called Flick Ticks. It's up on YouTube now, and we wanted to highlight it, and I got to work with these guys, and we made some jokes about it in the afternoons, and I only felt it was a little fair to have Cade and Robert here together to maybe push back against me and any claims I've made about pizza on the set, but we're going to talk about that. So today's episode is the five best memories of making Flick Ticks.
Ooh.
You guys ready for that?
Your sugar daddy for the cinema.
That's right. So first, before we set it, for those who haven't watched it, I wouldn't be opposed if you pressed pause on this podcast right now and then go look it up on YouTube. Just type in Flick Ticks or go to Robert Butler III's YouTube page, right? That's where it is right now. And find it. So before we get into the reasons or the memories of making this film, I want to know why this came about, what got you going, and how you guys have worked together, because this is not the first time that you have worked together. So RB3, I'll start with you. Not that you don't have to raise your hand. You can just jump in at any time. Put your hand down, Kate.
Not used to that.
Put your hand down.
Sorry.
RB3, go. Go.
So for Flick Tick, this is kind of an idea we've been cooking up since March or something, because we, us being film students, we just go to movies quite a bit, right?
At the great USC, you're USC. All going to school.
Also,
down
it was like this thing where everybody was, one person got movie pass, and then it's like, ooh, movie pass.
Yeah,
so
you have to get movie pass.
Movie pass.
Yeah.
Was it the thing for all the kids? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
And JTE, who had it from day one.
He had it when it was $50 a month,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. And it was a great savings then for him too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, for college people, it just became like a thing, especially at USC. I've been keeping up with all the behind the scenes stuff happening. I was like, oh, this probably won't last, but I'm gonna rock with it,
gonna ride this ship till it hits the iceberg.
Right,
it goes down.
Right. So I just always wanted to make. I kind of wanted to think of it as both like a workplace comedy and a movie, a movie, not love letter, but kind of a thing, of that sort of nature.
Because what, you know, and Kay, jump in here and I'll explain to the audience. For those who don't, I think most of my listening audience will know what MoviePass is, but I guarantee some don't. Mm. MoviePass springs up a few years ago, and it's this thing, like you joke, $50 a month, you get unlimited movies, and it goes to $10 a month. And Kay, you said it kind of swept the dorm, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, am I describing it right? Is that what it is, a little card? You get it, right?
Yeah, kids looked up from the keg stand for 1 second. And they thought, what is this product?
Movies?
Yeah. Well, I remember the origins of FlickTix like it was 4 months ago, because it was.
Yeah.
I actually have no idea when.
Well, I remember I was over at Robert's place, and I think it was the third time we tried to use MoviePass to go see something. I think it might have been Deadpool 2.
Oh, yeah.
And Robert looks at me, he goes, bro, we should write a parody about MoviePass. Like, oh my God, this is the next.
First of all, I can totally hear that in RB3's voice. Yeah. But I do it with more of that. RB3 gets a head shake. He gets a little head shake.
Yeah.
Bro, we got to do it.
We got to do it.
When that inspiration strikes him, it's just unstoppable. So of course, we took to our laptops.
As all good filmmakers. Yeah,
in a coffee shop.
Right? In a coffee shop at Starbucks.
Yeah. And then, you know, it just unraveled from there.
Yeah, because it, even beyond just, hey, it's this MoviePass, is this idea that maybe didn't work, a story did emerge, because it had worked for a few years. It had been around, again, we talked about $50 a month. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think at one point they were a sponsor on Schmoes. That's a
JT.
Yeah,
they were, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and then, but then they got a new CEO who was the person who made, who's famous for making Netflix from going from the mail to being streaming.
Right.
Which, or I'm sorry, I think he founded it from the mail service.
Right.
And then, yeah, but.
So he changed the game once.
He changed the game once and he was trying to do it again.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because like this guy, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to copy and paste this formula.
That's probably his job interviews right there. Yeah, and so what ends happening is it does end up being an interesting story because something that was kind of working, you know, suddenly gets a lot of press, $9.99 a month or whatever it was, unlimited movies, and then he's front and center. He appeared on Screen Junkies to sit and talk about it. And there just kind of was this hubbub around MoviePass, and then every other person I know is tweeting, I couldn't get into another movie. All these problems. So you're right. You're not just making fun of this little concept. There is a story there.
Right. And I thought that, I thought this story could kind of be, because I mean, I don't know. I thought, I feel a little bad for the guy to a certain extent. Like, I think he was trying to do something nice. I don't know how the execution of that like necessarily went, but I mean, you know, once you start, I mean, once the whole $9.99 price point gets out there, like there's no going back from that, like essentially. And especially when you make promises like that, I remember signing up for it and it taking weeks for it to finally come.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Same.
So
like you wouldn't get the card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that I had ordered it by the time the card showed up. So to my surprise, I was endowed to $9.99 a month.
Wow. So there's a, you're right. And I remember you even kind of tweeting out, not a defensive MR3, but just kind of like a,
well, I thought, and then I think partially of what
Kate's left,
like inspired
RBT's Twitter beef, like
I get too much Twitter beef. But I think partially of what inspired that is partially just like the kind of critics, like cackling from the winds, who are like, hey, this is like, I don't know, I thought it's kind of hypocritical that people who don't pay for movies are complaining about people paying for movies.
I agree with that.
I'm snapping
in agreement.
I definitely wanted to, that's a piece that I wanted to incorporate into FlickTik, you know, as well.
No, I love it. Hey, you know, no one's ever going to accuse RB3 of not speaking his mind and his truth there. So I remember that tweet and I agree with it. Yeah. I don't have a movie pass because I go to movies once every 2 years. So it would, even at $9 a month would be, oh, actually, hell, at $1 a month, it'd be a loss for me. But RB3 or JTE, there's a lot of initials in Schmoes.
No,
JTE, $50 a month was still saving like $400. So, how did you guys get together with not just this project, but other projects to work on? I know you're in the same film fraternity, is that right? My only concept of fraternities is the movie Old School, so this is different.
Right.
This is
better. Yeah, right? Going into college, I was like, there's no way I'm ever joining a frat. It's just like not the kind of culture I like vibe with. Mm-hmm. And then I heard about DKA, which is a professional cinematic fraternity. And what's cool about it is that it's actually boys and girls and anyone who identifies as non-binary. Yeah. So it's just like a whole group of like artists that are just there to support each other. And we're
and then you also like kill some freshmen on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, of course. So then that's where we met. Yeah, we're in the same induction class, pledge class.
Yeah.
OK,
so you joined. So this was Kate's. Was it your first time trying to pledge or second?
Oh, no, it was my second. Yeah, second I got rejected and got I came rejected? Back for more. Yeah.
What was, why are they, can I ask why they rejected
well,
you?
Well, it's,
what are you from Canada, they say?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it all worked out in timing because if it didn't, FlickTix wouldn't be here.
Today. Right, like, right, right.
Because I would have never connected question. With RB3. Yeah.
So. The Lord does work in mysterious ways. I've been telling you that from the start, RB3.
Hey, you have.
So you get in the second time. I mean, what does the fraternity do in general? Just sit around and talk movies, get involved in the community? Maybe how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, for DKA and Kay will probably be able to speak to it a little too, but it's mainly just, you know, it's a fraternity full of film majors. So we all collaborate on projects together.
Okay.
When one person, you know, because at USC, if you're a production major, you know, Kay's a production major, I'm not. But if you're a production major, you're shooting like almost every weekend. So a lot of times with DK, it's like, oh, if I need some help on this set, you know, please, you know, come and help or whatever. But then it's also, it's a network, but it's also like a family to a certain extent too, because we go on retreats, we have brunches together, you know, it's, you know, I guess it's most of what a normal fraternity would do to a certain extent, but added the extra element of like, oh, we're also going to work on each other's sets. We're also going to, you know, collaborate with
each other. Yeah, and what's interesting is where I work, I'm currently Anthony Padilla's production assistant. Yeah. If you haven't watched any of his videos, definitely go check them out, youtube.com/AnthonyPadilla.
You're plugging somebody with 2.7 million subscribers.
Yeah, I used to work at Defy when he was over there. I think he's doing good.
Yeah, he's amazing. But I met a fellow DECA, is what we're called, working at, I was filming a video with him, and this girl comes up from behind me, and she's like, is that Delta Kappa? I was wearing a shirt. Is that Delta Kappa Alpha? So I was like, yeah. She's all the way from Syracuse, New York, and she came over to USC like last weekend with a few other Syracuse DECAs, and it was just really cool to like cross, you know, cross the country.
Cross the streams.
Right.
No East Coast, West Coast feud here. Syracuse.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, Syracuse, good school. That's where I was going to go to be a baseball broadcaster.
Really?
Yeah, and I decided I'll get into comedy. That'll work out a lot better. So you guys get together. You've worked on some other things. What's some of the recent stuff? I know you did the Rode microphone contest. I know you didn't win. These are Rode microphones we're talking on. Hey. Thank you, Rode microphones, for microphones. Mm-hmm. But you didn't win that, but it was a beautiful piece down there at Venice Beach, right?
Thank you. It was great. That was really Kate's idea. He kind of, we both.
All right. Well, Robert, why don't you leave?
No. Get the fuck out of here. Can I curse? Is that?
You did and you're good.
Cool.
The Lord will forgive you
like
later.
Kanye at the White House. Just bleep it out.
Yeah.
Wait, so what were we talking? Artists of Venice? Okay, so we came up with the idea for FlickTix, right?
Right.
And we were writing it, and we basically got the script down to what we wanted, and we had also wanted to do this Rode Reel thing, so that came up like right when we were probably going to start making FlickTix.
Okay.
And so that pushed FlickTix all the way to now, and so we were kind of worried, like, is the hype going to die down around MoviePass? Is it really just going to be, like, 6 feet under by the time we get to it?
Mm.
And, like, honestly, there's still so many people complaining about it. Like, it kind of helped push the momentum, I feel like. Yeah. But Artists of Venice was, like, made in July, I think. July.
Yeah, I think so.
And that was a really fun, like, short project. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It focuses on some of the artists down there in Venice Beach. Beautifully shot, looked beautiful. You didn't have like a narrator VO, it just was them talking, right?
Yeah, it was great.
It was beautiful. Beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kudos to you both. You should have won the contest. I still love Rode my microphones, but come on, man. Come on.
Thank you. But thanks to the fans, and I'm sorry to cut you
off. No, no.
Thanks to the fans who pushed us, we ended up being like right at the 10th, like in terms of ranking for the votes.
Oh, wow.
We were right at the 10th spot for like the documentary category.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Great.
Yeah. And all the other ones before us were up there since like May. So as a last second entry,
yeah,
we
you
came
did
in pretty good.
All right. You know, I voted.
Thank you. I voted.
All right. Appreciate you. Voting's so important. I don't know. You know. I don't know if Cobster or Cody did. You should probably check.
I should probably check. Yeah.
So you guys finally find the time to sit down and do Flick Ticks. That's the story. This parody. That's about a 10-minute short film. I have a little part in it. Say some words. Say some words. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But now it is time to get to the five best memories of making Flick Ticks with Robert Butler III and Cade Husby. Hit it. Number five. Let me have it.
Let me have it. Do you remember what number five was?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, number five was a scene towards the end of the movie.
Oh, right.
And
right,
one
right.
of the last shots we did with Ken on set. Mm. And it's when he comes in to the board meeting room about to tell them that the company's basically going under.
Right, right.
And so he comes in, you know, Ken is playing this character named Kevin who is just totally living an illusion. Every idea he has will work, undoubtedly. So he walks into the room with a big smile on his face, looking at the ground. And then he looks up at the angry investors with this like huge smile. It just like got us every single time on set.
I thought it was hilarious. And that was the last thing that we shot in that day. Yeah,
we shot a day. You guys had what, 2 days of shooting?
Yeah, two days
of full shooting. Yeah, well, yeah. That Arbor 3. What do you think about that moment there?
Oh, I mean, that was probably my favorite moment of shooting of that day because it was just so. That wasn't a moment that I had planned. That wasn't, and it, you know, I don't know how funny it translated like on the actual film, but to me on set, it was hilarious because just the way you were walked, the pace of which you walked, the way you walked over, you know, in front of the posters and right to the down pointing arrow. Like I just thought all of it was just so visually funny to me. And especially because I didn't have that moment like planned out. That was all.
Right.
Cause Kay was like, oh, I think it would be funny if we see him walk in to the office, and you know, because we just kind of shot the scene as if you know you're already there,
right?
But I thought that you know, but that was a really great character moment that came out of something that wasn't there initially.
Crazy make 'em ups on the set. No, well, my thought process behind this character is that delusional, yes, but that there was this part of him that believed he was doing a good thing,
yeah,
and that if he just kept pretending,
yeah,
that he'd be all right. And like any good, you know, I in my time of being a boss, in my old job, I would have to walk in a suit to a briefing room with about 20 guys and girls, and I'd have to lie to them sometimes because as I'd walk down the hall, I'd be like, oh man, we're gonna all lose our jobs. I know this contract is up. We're going to go to a new company and I have to sit there. Hi guys. Hi girls. What are we doing? Yay. So I think that's what we tied into there.
No, yeah. Whatever you tapped into there, like that subtle humor was just so spot on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you guys talk about the collaborative effort of making films. You know, you write a film, you shoot a film, you edit the film and you probably make it different every time or add something every time.
Yeah.
So you guys write it, but then on set, yeah, Cade says, hey, what if we get this shot? Mm-hmm. And your DP, this kid, Zach, shows up and just he was his own kind of little genius as well. You're all just geniuses.
He's over here pitching the next Facebook.
He's got something coming out. I don't even want to. Yeah, he's pitching that thing too. And you all kind of work together so well, and that's what happens. You know, you RB3, the director. Sometimes I looked at him like RB3 knows what he's doing, but I think he's playing too nice. He's looking around, and there's times I was like, are you getting the shot you wanted? And it seemed like you were worried about keeping me. You tell me, I am just your hired hand here. You tell me what to do, RB3.
Nah.
So that was a good moment. We got something good out of that. So that's number four.
That was great.
All right, that was number five.
That was number five.
What is number four?
Number four, I mean, you know, we kind of approached it thinking about like the most, you know, the moments that were both best, but also the ones that stood out the most. And probably the one that stood out was actually getting back from day one and looking at the footage and actually seeing that there wasn't like really any audio recording there. We had a big like malfunction on set.
Wow.
So there was like, the audio was basically like non-existent. So
how did we get that?
I think this camera settings was too.
Yeah.
Low,
so basically like when you record into a camera that's supposed to have two XLR inputs and it's only one because, you know, budget. So like when you record only one XLR input at 50%, it's like
a fourth of like, what you would normally.
Yeah. So you just got to blast it to 100. So we fixed it for the next day and it sounded great, but luckily RB3 worked tirelessly on editing this audio. Like he had like four programs open at once, like making it just sound perfect. I mean, if you watch the film today, it sounds flawless.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known. You know, there's like I think there was one moment or something like, oh, that's right, we had like a little boom or something.
So
it's nothing that I would notice. How did you do that, RB3? Because I've messed up on podcast recording. In fact, even now, I'd look down and panic to make sure this Zoom was connected, because I've recorded an entire podcast from my laptop microphone thinking I was recording to the Zoom, and it cost me $100 and it didn't to get it fixed by someone, and it didn't even get fixed.
Right.
How did you fix it?
I don't know. I mean, it just took a lot of time. I mean, that was probably the biggest like technical difficulty. And then we reached out to one of our friends to like help us, you know, like fix the sound, but he kind of flaked on us. So it was just like, oh man, like I
name
literally,
him.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't want to call out people. So all of that. So it was just me going through every single line of dialogue and trying to pitch correct or do something where I could figure it out.
You saved the day. You saved the day.
Absolutely.
And that's part of that's why you guys choose it, because there's what is going through your head. Cade, you're the producer of this thing. You get back and you're, let's watch the tapes. And this is what you see. What's going through your head?
I go, all right, there's one or two options here. First, we get every audience member their very own personalized ear horn to view the movie with. Second option is RB3. Just got to take it
just
home.
Just got to take it. But see, when he first showed me the problem.
I was panicked, though.
Yeah, when he first showed me, he was the panicked one. I really didn't understand like what he was saying. He was like, oh, bro, we don't have any audio. I was like, oh, that's fine, man. Like, don't worry about it.
It was there. It was just like like Mac on full blast attached to a Bluetooth speaker. Like, you could barely hear it.
Bluetooth speaker maxed out, you could hear like a whisper. That's what it was. So then I was like, oh, okay, I didn't really see the problem. But then like as I started to import the footage, I was like, oh, this is, because it's tough. It was hard to even edit because you can't even hear it. So you have to post-production. You have to bump up the sound 100% just to hear it. And then you have to go in and fix it even further. So
did you think at any point, one, we're going to have to reshoot? Or two, ADR like crazy.
Well, I suggested ADR a few times, but like I knew that wasn't really a realistic option because of our time frame. But it was just like, I don't know, if we don't have to reshoot, like I would totally never want to reshoot like we captured so much good stuff on set.
Yeah.
And also you guys and the investors and Max, you guys were all so nice enough to just come out for that day anyways asking you guys again, I just feel like that's on us. You know, we got to fix it.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Stand up gentleman here.
Thank you.
RB3, you, how fast did you fix it? Cause you guys had a trailer out pretty fast, right?
Yeah. I mean, the trailer didn't have any of like the correct audio. True.
I had dealt with a similar issue on Alex, the Stupid Idiot, which is a film that we worked on together. And I had a similar issue, kind of different though. And so I knew how to fix it to make it work for the trailer, you know, a few clips here and there. But cutting the trailer was actually super fun.
It was a great little teaser. Well, next time, if I'm shooting, I'll bring the Zoom and some batteries, all right?
Thank you. Make sure you bring a pizza, too.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. So that's number four, the panic and then solutions of sound. I love that. Yeah. Number three.
Number three would have to be shooting the bathroom scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a hilarious part of the movie.
Thank you. It was a really kind of complicated shoot to produce, like in the bathroom scene, because it takes place in the basement of our school's library.
Right.
And, you know, you already, regardless of the context, walking in there with a camera is just not a good look.
Yeah. Right.
To a bathroom with a camera. Yeah.
We did something at Collider once in a bathroom, but I was like, what are we doing? And it was like our own bathroom. Yeah. I know what you mean, Kate.
Yeah. And this is like a bathroom straight out of like Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah.
Creaking, and you never know if it's somebody coming or, you know, somebody walking
and
in.
I know you had a lot of permissions to shoot, but did this one you didn't have? Is that what I'm picking up on?
Yeah.
Guerrilla bathroom style shooting. Yeah. Like, let's get in, get out, and do this.
Yeah. And see, that's where I think my downfalls as a director kind of comes, because I'm one of those dudes that likes to shoot 800 million takes, you know?
Well, see, it goes back to my theory. You hurried through some of the shots because you were afraid that you were keeping me from video games at home.
No, wait. I thought we were getting almost too much with you to a certain extent.
Okay.
But I mean, I loved it. I wanted to keep doing more. If you didn't have to leave at four, I would have kept rolling on more.
I didn't have to leave at four. You were told me.
If we had the venue longer than four, I should say too.
Long story short, we had video games to get back to.
That's fair. So you're in this bathroom, you get this wonderful long shot of urinals, you get this funny moment or a gay.
Yeah, I mean, we did that all in one take. Yeah. We did like three takes of the long shot.
Right.
And then what kept happening is people kept coming in. Yeah. So then whenever people come in, we'd have to like slide, because we were... I mean, it was so funny, Ken. We had the camera like on top of the camera bag inside of one of the stalls, like trying to record it like at an angle,
creepy.
So as soon as somebody came in, we just slid the camera bag back into the stall and closed the door.
It just were a bunch of dudes standing around the bathroom talking.
It reminded me of like a Disney Channel show where like three friends are doing something. Like we had our positions like ready, you know, if we hear somebody walking in, I slide the camera bag this way, Riley's does its 180 turn into the stall. Like, it's just crazy.
All right.
But you pull it off. Yeah. I seriously think is I totally understand what you're talking about. But you got to think at USC, walking into a bathroom and there's a film crew set up, people are like, hey, you know, they're filming something. But I understand.
Yeah. It's also the same. I don't mean to cut you off again, but that's the second time I did it. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Mom raised you so right.
Thank you. It was the same bathroom. I don't know if you saw it. I have a short on my YouTube channel called Old Red Nose.
I haven't watched one yet. I watched part and watched some of the other ones.
Yeah. That one I didn't direct, but I just kind of acted in and helped out with. Okay. But there's a whole ending part where I'm like putting on clown makeup that was like also shot in that same bathroom.
Yeah. Got a lot of history there, that Harry Potter USC bathroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's all there.
So guerrilla bathroom filming. Mm-hmm. I love those kind of memories too. Yeah. When you're like, we got that shot. We did it. Look back. I don't know how. I don't know why. We snuck in. But that's good and a great scene. It plays really well. It's really just wonderfully awkward.
And that was actually like a real life trauma of RB3. I want
to talk about the trauma of the urinal. So the scene, for those who haven't paused the podcast to watch, or if you already watched it, you know, it's the one where, you know, Cade goes in to use the urinal and goes in the far corner. And then a guy slowly moves each urinal one closer at a time. Mm-hmm. RB3, this has happened to you or is this a fear?
I mean, it's happened. I mean, like just...
With the same person sliding down?
They didn't slide down as far as Riley did, but they definitely had... I was on one side. They were on the opposite side of the stall and then made a conscious choice to get to, not the stall directly next to me, but the stall like next to that one. I was like, that's really weird. I don't rock with that one. If he would have got next to me, then it would have been like,
it would have been a whole
issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was important for us, like when we were writing the script together, to incorporate like our real life experiences at the movies.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to like really emphasize like the real things that go on at the movies. Mm-hmm. So like for instance, like the guy taking the seat, the bathroom thing, you know, them not having the movies at the kiosk, like because MoviePass sucks.
Yeah.
It's just like, we wanted to make it as real as possible. So like as before we wrote the script, like these were all iterations of things that actually did happen to us while we were trying to use MoviePass.
It's spectacular because it plays as these two kind of stories running alongside each other. The story of the CEO just trying to do something that he feels is right, losing money left and right, Max the intern gets fired, that whole thing. But then, the experience, I worked in a movie theater before I moved to Los Angeles for a little while, lost my job in radio, was jobless for a while, and I got my friends worked in the movie theater. So I got to experience it for about 8 months total. Mm. And I saw some other comments about that section where you guys really, really nailed working at a movie theater and also attending a movie theater. Like you really was this wonderful journey through that side of the process.
Thank you.
Who played the theater employee?
That was our friend, Akai Floyd.
Akai Floyd. Yeah.
She's also in DK as well. So pretty much all the people who you see in the second the second
the film day
story. Yeah, they're all are people from DK mostly. So, but yeah, she that was also another last second thing that we kind of had too. Because the guy who played the bathroom guy was going to play the theater employee.
The theater employee.
Because he had actually been a theater employee.
So, and he helped out. He helped out a lot with writing those moments too. So,
I gotcha. That's awesome. So it was kind of this, another thing that emerges, while you're shooting there. That's,
yeah, no. And the movie and the getting the sea stolen is like directly like something right. that I'm sure happened to a lot of people who have movie pass, but
So that's number three, shooting in the bathroom.
Shooting in the bathroom.
What is your number two?
Number two definitely has to be the moment that there's a post-production moment when we received the email from our animator who gave us like a rough draft of how the animation was going to
look.
To us, that was so mind-blowing because it was, for one, she did it super quick. It's our friend.
Vanessa.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to mispronounce your last name, you know, but
I can try. Rosulo.
I think that's how
you can blame me.
But she's an incredible animator who just graduated from USC. And we had somebody else who was going to do the animation, but they fell out. So they weren't available.
Yeah.
So they recommended us to to Vanessa, and she turned it around in like a 3-day. She turned out a rough in like 3 days, and then like the very next day she had like a final.
So you didn't really necessarily know her then. This is a recommendation.
Yeah, it was really more of a recommendation. Yeah,
right, and another, you know, that's how these things get done.
Right. But it was just so it was so amazing.
She absolutely killed it.
Yeah,
it's it looks. I felt inferior to the professional quality, just myself as a performer.
Like when that first animation came in, I was over at Robert's place, and like I remember falling onto the ground. Yeah, because it was just so, like it was just so good, and that was just so the good. Rough. I mean, it was like when we saw the final thing, it was like, wow, this is really going to push it over the top.
Mm-hmm. It ties it all together so well.
Yeah.
So well. And that's the stuff that's key. You talk about the post-production memories. Like this is, you know, that's kind of some of the stuff that you have to factor in. That's why this stuff is so hard. Even kids these days with their flip phones and their watches, they could shoot a movie on their phone. I mean, I shoot my motivation videos on YouTube on my phone and just try. I mean, a lot of pieces have to fall into place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's part of this journey.
Yeah.
By the way, I love your motivation videos.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, your motivations. I go to that for it.
You're one of 92 people who watch it, and you as well, Kate, and I appreciate that.
Of course.
But a lot of fun. So that's your number two, the Vanessa's animation, the graphics package, so to speak, the animation package that really just adds the flavor, the nice frosting on this tasty cake. So before we get to number one, we can talk about little things that maybe didn't make the list and other little memories and highlights of making this memories, cast, whatever. What do you got? What else went down that's not on your list?
One thing I was thinking about adding to the list was having the actual FlickTix card and like...
Right.
It was just, it's really cool to just like have it. Yes. I'm holding it for those of you listening. I'm just like holding it in my hand. It's just like, it's really, I love props, you know, like, I don't know why, just growing up, I used to collect like fake props, and I see you have a blaster over there. Yes. So you can relate.
The Men in Black blaster. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought one of the really cool highlights was having the card. I thought it was cool when you pulled it out and got the close-ups.
Yeah,
it was just
really that was very handy. Helpful for our production process.
Yeah,
it gave us an idea of like where.
Who designed that?
I designed it.
Okay,
and I literally just taped it over my MoviePass card.
So I was gonna say
actually my MoviePass card.
Was it your MoviePass or your Panera card?
Yeah,
and then I had. I don't know if RB3 told. I took that home accidentally.
It was in my
suit. And I drove all the way home from USC to Burbank and was like, what the hell is that? Ah, no. But flip side is I had left my comb and my hair gel, what's left of my hair. So RB3 and I did a Walter Sobchak, Big Lebowski handoff there.
That's amazing.
So that's fun. So Eddie, what's other, before we get to number one, any other fun memories? We can talk about the pizza if that's not on the list.
Be patient. Okay.
I think one of the memories that I personally connected to was like literally the day of like trying to put it out, like, mm-hmm. and how stressed out I think I was, and then I don't know how stressed out Cade was, but Cade was, you know, you're giving me a little sweat about like not having.
Yeah, I mean, I had like been putting it all over social media. Yeah,
October 12th was the day.
October 12th, the blessed day.
Clicktix is coming October 12th.
And so 12th, the day came, and I was, and Robert was like, "Yo, bro, do you think we should just like put it out at midnight or like not tomorrow?" I was like, I feel kind of weird, honestly, telling people it's coming out today. So, I mean, he literally did such a great job. I went over to his place, like, just to check on him, make sure he wasn't, you know, he was still alive.
Can we say what the technical hiccup was?
Well, I mean, it was mostly sound.
The
sound pushed everything
else
way back. So it was just like, and then we, you know, I reached out to somebody to do color. You know, color correction for it, and they were unavailable, so I just had to do it all myself. It was just like so much happening at once with the project and the export, and having, you know, some other. I mean, there's a lot of other like little pieces that don't like
these are the things
all come together too. So
you can shoot on your phone, but you got to think of all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, color correction, that's big. You know, make it look good. You got to, you know, and you got a sound problem built in.
Right.
Because I saw some people tweet, and it made sense that this could be some real high concept Andy Kaufman like movie pass joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there's technical.
Yeah, that tweet was so great.
Whoever it was, I forget. Give him credit for that.
Yeah.
So that's that. Comes out.
Yeah.
Finally hits the street.
Finally made
it. It's on YouTube. And that brings us to our number one best memory about making Flicktix is...
Craft services.
There it is. I feel so I made this a problem later on, but let's go through it now.
No, it really was a problem because, like, first of all, as the producer, you have like a few jobs on set. It's really not like that big of a deal on set for a producer. So I was, you know, I got the breakfast ready. I got some bagels, some coffee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cold brew.
Some little oranges. So I thought I was killing the game up until lunch when I ordered Domino's, and when they said they were here, I went outside and like they were literally still 30 minutes away. So that put us off by like 30 minutes.
Right.
And then they show up with like, when I ordered a medium, I pictured at least like, you know, the size of like a car tire or something.
Right. Like an old school medium. Okay.
Yeah. And so
a Yugo or like a Fiat tire. But
I was thinking more like
we want a Chevy.
Car.
We want a Chevy tire. Yeah.
So when the guy shows up and hands me this box that, you know, looks like maybe an extra small. And also RB3 mentioned it on the afternoons, but like our credit cards were like totally failing us.
Just both a day. Just denied.
Yep.
Yeah, mine was crazy, but and then it was also like it's a little bit of that, and it's also the parking situation, right? Like
the parking.
Like I totally like did not anticipate like
the parking
being as, you know, as it was, because I thought if anything it was a Saturday, they're not gonna check tickets. And even if they did, like I thought we'd had yours covered and Leland.
The other app performers, we should also give them credit. Leland Heflin, Felicia Taylor, the investors.
Amazing.
Max, you Schmoes fans remember Max Mulderig. And then I don't know her, Adrian Hinosa. How do you say her name?
Adriana Hinosa.
Adriana. Yeah, there you go. You said a lot better than me.
Kay's fictional
girlfriend.
Yeah, she actually Kira. Just opened a show. She was at she performed in a USC performance this past weekend, so it was like a
big weekend for her. Yeah,
she's great. Yeah,
and
She's great. She's great. Everyone was great. But yeah, like Leland and Felicia who played the investors along with URB3, couldn't get it. The parking was tough to get on the USC. I've 20 years in LA. I've only been to the USC campus to see the Last Jedi premiere.
Yeah.
But really, I'm at the theater and I'm bussed in or limoed in, and it's a different experience.
Right.
Awesome as it was. Yeah. So I was actually happy. I was like, this is cool. Yeah. I've never been to USC 20 years in LA. I've been to UCLA a lot.
Right.
Boo, no Bruins. And then I had a lot of, it was like a fortress. It was like trying to get in.
Yeah,
trying
to find the right really
they make it overly complicated. Yeah. Because I feel like they put so much into like their football and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, people are going to park here for football or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like nobody cares. Hey, I don't know. So.
Well, when I finally got there, I think I told you guys when I walked up, I felt like an old dad. The USC marching band was playing and I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm here at USC and they're practicing on the field. Yeah. You know, I wanted to break into Fleetwood Mac's Tusk. It was great. It was great. So parking, everything, all that kind of stuff. But the craft services and we talked about in the afternoons, talked about a couple things. Now I paid my parking ticket and you were not going to give me a dime. RB3. I know you've tried.
I'm so sorry, bro.
I got a parking ticket, but it was my fault. See, I believe in personal responsibility. Yes. I was told I could park here. I got out of the car and in my confusion to find the location, walked past the sign that said 2-hour parking. Mm-hmm. I would have questioned it more. I was just like, no, and I was looking for you guys. Mm-hmm. And then I never, so that's on me. That's not on you. That's not on you.
Thank you, Ken, for being
I'll take it. Yeah. It's on you. It's on me. Cool. It's on me.
But the craft service is hilarious because you guys, up to then, everything, it's, I wouldn't call this even a student film. That to me, it brings it has a connotation to that you guys are far above. You know,
thank you,
appreciate that.
But you know, it's on campus and it's using.
And we are students.
You're all students, yeah. But I wouldn't call it a student film. So you guys treated it like a professional production, compensation for performers. You call sheets, DP. Perfect sound.
as we thought.
Yeah,
as
and a great facility. And I'm there. And, you know, Cade, I'm waiting for Arbiter. You get there. And then Max is there. And I'm like, Max, I get to see Max again. Right. And Cade comes around and he's got great bagels. He's got the cold brew was just wonderful. And I'm thinking, these guys are on it. Mm-hmm. And then craft services, I would always imagine you might be a little late because, you know, things never run on time, right? That's kind of the nature of production. You got your call sheet, you got this, you got that. And then it was those whispers. It was those hushed whispers between you guys.
Are you talking about? Because I was listening to the afternoons and I was like, what is he referencing?
There was at one point, I just remember there was kind of like a lunch, you know?
I was like panicking about lunch because our credit cards were out.
Arbiter, you got cash? What do we got? And you guys handled, though, we had food. I would have, even though I'm a unemployed digital media pundit, I would have absolutely purchased 2 large pizzas. Next time, RB3, you don't be shy. You
all
ask
right,
me.
All right. Okay. All right,
you know, you're the producer. I'll help you.
Well, I think even the funniest part of it was going back and listening to the afternoons.
Absolutely.
And I know Kay like really got a big kick out of listening back.
Because like
to
I was sitting there staring like it was like a primitive circle around like a dead deer or something. You know, we're all just like sitting there. And RB3, and when you said like a mother trying to feed her family, RB3 is like, I'm not hungry. I swear I'm not hungry. And Ken sitting there like, you have got to be kidding.
My stomach's eating itself on the inside.
Hey, but we got through.
And we get it.
That's what filmmaking is about.
So it's all about.
It was so fun.
Is getting through. A lot of fun. Great performances. And we can't forget the performance of Christian Cabster-Ruvikapa and Andres Ace Cabrera from Schmoes and Collider and Meaning of Podcast with you, RB3. I thought they were great as pundits.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was something that came in. It was originally going to be me and Ace.
Yeah.
And then because we couldn't find anybody for the other investor part, I had to play the investor.
Right.
And I felt like we're still going to keep it just me and Ace, but have it be like, oh, interview with MoviePass or FlickTick Investor. But it's too hard to communicate, I think.
Well, Cobster played the swarmy digital media movie pundit perfectly. It's a great performance. Yeah. Great performance. So that is about what we got here today. Those are the 5 memories of making this film. And if you're out there listening and you think, hey, I want to make some films. Maybe you're young. Maybe you're old. Maybe you want to get back into the game. This is a good reminder of the process that goes into making the films. And even the challenges. Not only are you going to get over it, RB3, you're going to learn some new skills. You're a colorist now.
I'm a colorist. I'm a sound mixer. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. I had no idea what sound even like meant before.
Yeah.
Before doing this. So
and now you got those skills.
Yeah. And you got through.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in and talking about this, and also for including me. I really appreciate that. You showed a lot of faith in this this old dog.
Dude, so you're the Paul Giamatti of our generation.
Let's make it happen. Yeah. What's next? What's the next project? You doing that Makuga and Knapsack buddy cop picture? What are you doing?
Yeah, we got to figure out something for you guys. I don't know, Kate, what is next?
We've got some sci-fi stuff, possibly sci-fi in stuff. The tube. Is that something people say in the tube?
That's months down the line. I don't know if that's next. I'm working on a documentary right now that I'm hoping to put out. Relatively soon, too.
That's great. Yeah. And finishing school. You both got a... You're a little closer, RB3. But
Yeah.
I mean, I'm working on those Anthony videos, like, every week.
Yeah.
So
definitely check those out. He's in, like a lot of them now these days, too.
Yeah, it's super fun to be a cameo artist.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you're going to... That's a good way, good place to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anthony there. So that is it. You can find the video again. This is the short film Slick Ticks, a MoviePass parody. It is available on YouTube right now. Robert Butler III's channel is hosting it, but just type in Flick Ticks. I'm sure you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Also have it on my Twitter page. Tweet it out. It's out there. You'll find it. So we're almost done here. But as always, I got to let you know, you can follow me at Cadnapsuck. That includes Instagram and YouTube, where those aforementioned motivation videos are and some other stuff. I'm working on some other things, too. If I can find a way to edit myself some videos, I got to work on that, too. As always, we got to pay special respect and my eternal thanks for my Patreon producers and executive producers, Jason Humphreys, Pag Netty, Alex Marriott, Kai Thatch, Kyle Gerbrandt, Zach Anderson, Donald Young, The Amazing Web, Aaron Parisian, Jonas Bergren, Corey Morissette, thanks for the General Veers picture, Graham Bell, Kyle Harlow, and David Triana are my producers. My executive producers are David Hamm. You can find him at Real Snacks Attacks, Thomas Risling, Lethal Logan, X, Matthew Simon, Bedore, my Fortnite coach, Jacob at Star Wars Legends Con, Nos Lack, Matthew Thompson at TMP Media Productions, and Tamor. Follow Tamor at Tamor, TAIMURZB, fan of what we do here and a great support. So that is all. Thank you. You can support at patreon.com/thenapsackfiles if you want, but the best way to support is just listen, spread the word, and enjoy the show. So that is it. Until next time, life has been ranked.